Hi, Chan boys and Chan girls. It's Matt here saying thank you for listening to Chansplaining. Today we're going to talk about The Medallion, which is a very bad movie, but you probably should watch it to know what we're talking about. You can get it on Amazon, but I'd feel better if you found a way to steal it, just because no one who made this movie deserves the money. You can follow us on Twitter at TheChanPod. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on Facebook, email us at Chansplaining Podcast, I think. Actually, I don't know if that's it, so don't email until I figure this out. And as always, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Music. Music.
Hey, what's up, Chan boys and Chan girls out there? You're listening to Chansplaining, Jackie Chan podcast. How's it going, Jordan and Sonny?
It's going great. Failed Jackie Chan.
Yeah. Do we know that for a fact?
I mean, it seems apparent from the last two movies we've seen, but we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about America. Not this movie. Yeah, I agree.
America these movies.
Yeah, for the people at home that didn't hear the bumper we already recorded, we listened to The Medallion today.
We only listened to it.
Well, I wouldn't say that I watched it, because I don't know. I misspoke. No, we watched The Medallion. It was very bad.
So, just to give everybody an idea of when we're recording this, I just want to wish everybody out there a happy Jackie Chanica first night tonight.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, it's the first night of Hanukkah, 12/12. It's also the Alabama election or whatever.
Yeah,
that's
so
gonna be.
If you suddenly hear our energy spike or wane during this podcast, you'll know who won.
Roy Moore for 17.
Technically for 18, because he starts on the first day of the year.
Okay, that's fair. And that's also true. So that's fine.
Fair and true.
All right, George, you said there was more Hollywood news you wanted to talk about for some reason.
Yeah. Oh, Hollywood news. This. Hollywood facts. As we talk about all of the nonsense that's going on in Hollywood right now, the AV Club posted an article that the NYPD is reopening the case against everyone's least favorite director, Roman Polanski.
Oh, you were giving me teasers about that, Jordan. That is like the oldest one I can think of.
Yeah, who's an older sexual assault rape in Hollywood story than Roman
Zeus?
Polanski?
Maybe, I mean, Zeus. Isn't Woody Allen older than him? Oh, I don't know, actually.
No,
Woody
but
Allen
I mean,
just
the
always looks like he's gonna die.
No, but are the allegations older? I think the allegations against Roman Polanski are the oldest.
Potentially.
That and the Black Dahlia.
Yeah, they're going to open up the Black Dahlia murders also.
We got a break in the case.
That would be pretty cool. Did you guys ever read about the Black Dahlia?
Is that the one where Christopher Walken threw that lady off a boat?
No. What? That's not that. That did happen.
I listened to the You Must Remember This episode about it.
Oh, that was so good. It was part of the Manson family, right?
Yeah, that was hella good. That podcast is like amazing.
Hella good, Sonny? What are you talking about? You're not from California.
What are you? No Doubt? What are you, Gwen?
Yes.
Gwyneth Stefani?
Yeah. All right, guys. That's enough Hollywood talk at the top. Let's get into Chan talk.
Chan talk.
Specifically, some Chan fiction. Today it's going to be read by Sonny, because Sonny learned how to read over the weekend.
Yeah, it was a real long weekend.
Wait, so what does that mean? That it was really difficult to learn to read, or it was just
I stayed up for 48 hours, learning how to read.
Okay, well, take us on a journey, Sonny.
So I'm going to read a passage that was initially skipped over from one of the previous chapters we read, but it's the end of this chapter where Jackie kind of talks about his relationship with Master Yu, his master at the China Opera Academy.
I'm glad you say his name Yu, because I never know what it is. It sounds like I have a weird, like, sexual
what do you,
thing.
What do you
master.
What
Let's
do you
call him Master.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just Y-U, so I assume that's how it's pronounced. It might be Yur? Yur?
I don't know.
So this is what he says about him. I feel like everything I've said so far has made life at the Academy sound like torture, and Master Yu sound like a monster. Well, certainly felt like that was true at the time. There wasn't a day I was there when I didn't think of taking Yunting's way out. Escape. But I had nowhere to run. My mother couldn't have taken care of me on her own, and anyway, if I'd gone back to the mansion on the peak, I wouldn't have had anything to do. I was too young to work, and I wasn't suited for school. The Academy was the only place where my abilities could be developed into something worthwhile.
Can you imagine in a world where you're a little boy and you're like, I can't go to school. There's no way.
Yeah.
It's not suited for me.
I'm too dumb to know.
I'm 7 years old. The system has done with me what it will. I can only be an acrobat.
But this is also like a weird way to write this book, because all these chapters are like, wow, this place sucks. I just get abused all day. And then like the ending of one of those chapters is like, yeah, could have been worse.
P.S. Thanks, Master Yu.
And look where I am now. I'm the son of a cook and a housekeeper. I grew up fighting for food and eating scraps. I never had toys or nice clothes or even a room I could call my own. Yet today I'm one of the most famous people in Asia, maybe even the world. With more money than my parents ever dreamed of, traveling everywhere, meeting famous people, making movies.
Oh,
every
yeah.
time I think about the 10 years I spent in Master's Hell, I just think about how Master lived the last decade of his life in an Alzheimer's haze, barely able to recognize his own family. He spent his last 2 years in a coma, hooked up to machines that kept his heart pumping and his lungs breathing. When he died at the age of 95, it could only have been a blessing. You might think I was happy he was gone. That I was relieved, finally, to be free of the man responsible for a decade of suffering. You couldn't be more wrong. As far as I'm concerned, Charles Chan was the father of Chan Kong Sang. But Yuan was the father of Jackie Chan. I kind of sight-read that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Imagine if that chapter ended with, well, you would imagine that I would wish that he was dead. Well, I was.
Well, you were right about that.
Do you guys have any teachers that were, like, especially hard on you that you, like, realized were the reason why you travel the world making movies now, avoiding the American government?
No, I can't think of any.
No, I just was not a good student, so a lot of teachers were hard on me.
I was just an unmotivatable piece of shit.
Yeah, something like that.
I was pretty indifferent to most of my teachers.
Oh, I was moved. Yeah. I was very much like, half of my teachers, I'm like, you're bullshit. And the other half I thought were like Robin Williams and both Good Will Hunting and Dead Poets Society.
That's a good one. I've never had one of those.
None of them were that good. My favorite teacher in high school, I realized never left or moved away from Long Island, and I thought she was this worldly, really interesting woman.
Oh, but
she was just like a smarter tripped. Version of my mom.
Ah.
Sucks. I wish that Master Yu was my teacher.
But
I'm
only like
screenwriter
after.
Alive.
It doesn't sound like he was super worldly. He just, like, stayed...
Yeah. I also don't know if he was good at teaching. It seems like he was just good at being a hard ass.
Yeah, they have actual, like, he would delegate work. Like, there were actual people that knew what to do, and he was pretty much just the enforcer at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sonny, as you read this book, you're going to learn I've skipped a lot of things for the sake of time. And there's a lot of like little stuff like that. Like there are instructors, and then there's stuff about, you mentioned the peak, right?
Right. The peak.
The That's mansion what he calls on the
where
peak.
He grew up.
Yeah.
His like chef's house. All right.
But it's nice that he has this perspective of all this crazy shit that happened and be like, oh yeah, he can look back and be like, oh, Master Yu is pretty chill.
It's pretty chill because I'm super fucking rich now.
Yeah, I'm hella famous.
But what about all the...
Jordan?
What about all the kids who didn't become super famous and just had their backs broken and
little bitches.
They didn't have the persistence to become Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the link I posted about the Jackie Chan gold-plated skis?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is insane.
I love to think about this as when I'm reading this book, there's this little boy that is sleeping on the floor in a huddle with other kids, and one day he goes, "If only I could have my own $47,000 line of skis, it'll all be worth it. It'll all be worth it." And then he pees his pants because he's not allowed to go to the bathroom.
So he's like Oprah, where he grew up his whole life just wanting to have golden plated skis, and then he got older and he was like, now that I have money, I can have golden plated skis. Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean,
what?
You've never heard that thing about Oprah where she has a department store,
that's
like
not
showroom?
Oprah. That's
who
Barbara
is that?
Streisand.
Are you sure?
Someone like that.
I thought it was Oprah.
It's not Oprah. I know what you're thinking of. She has her basement, her house is it looks like a Macy's, so she can go shopping there.
Oh, I've been telling everybody it's Oprah.
That
it's
is
not
Barbara
Oprah.
Streisand.
Don't slander Oprah like that. Sonny, there's more Chan fiction, though, right?
Yes. The next passage I'm going to read is, we kind of skip ahead a few years. So he's been at the academy for a while, and his master tells him that his mom and dad are coming to visit. So this is building up to the anticipation of him waiting for his parents to show up. There was a soft thumping on the door. Master patted me on the back and led me to the entranceway. I opened the door and for the first time in years saw the man who brought me into the world. Australia had not changed my father much. He was still the same tall, stern man of my memories, with a few more lines on his face and a bit more color to his skin. He seemed as awkward in my presence as I was in his, and we stood there staring at one another until Master beckoned my parents in off the stoop. He and my mother stepped inside, and Mom immediately put her arm around me. We walked to the long table and sat down as Master signaled for tea. Father sat on one side of me and Mom on the other, with Master at the head of the table. "You've grown, Apao," he said, his voice gruff. "Maybe you've even outgrown your name." He was right. Now, a skinny adolescent, I no longer deserved the baby name Cannonball. I was more like a rifle, lean, compact, and hard.
Oh my God, I love how he describes himself.
To describe yourself. It doesn't specify an age that he's of. It just says the next few years. So, I guess he would be, 13, 14?
Probably. Mm. I feel like he might be, Thon Maker, where he's actually much older than he lets on as to not, hurt his marketability.
I have a question about cultural, cultural stuff. So, coming from, my dad is from Morocco, and originally, and in Morocco growing up, birthdays weren't a thing. So you would know your age, but you wouldn't really care about your birthday, and it wouldn't be a celebration and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think is that something that also translates to Hong Kong and China, or is
Birthdays
Ambassador
are definitely.
To the Sonny Chang.
Birthdays are definitely less of a big deal than they are in America. I've never really cared about my birthday, and I think that's just something that comes through with how you're raised, because there's you gotta do shit every day, you don't get to take a day off because it's your...
You got to learn to read every day.
You
got
to learn to read. Yeah. You got to learn acrobatics. There's no
Violin.
Time for birthdays.
So maybe that's why the age thing, it doesn't matter. Because it's just kind of like, ah. Maybe that's the wrong assumption.
Why he doesn't reference it?
Yeah, why it doesn't matter.
I think sometimes that's to do, like, with poverty, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Does that, like...
That could be a factor. Like, there's no money to pay for presents, so it's just, like, a day.
Yeah, like, I know my parents grew up in America, and they grew up real poor, and they didn't do birthdays really at all because there wasn't money to go around. And then when it was time for their son to have his birthday, they were like, fuck this kid. He doesn't need... No birthday presents. I would get one or two birthday presents. Usually cold hard cash.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty standard. That's the ideal.
That's like the best birthday present.
I think a blowjob is better.
From
your parents?
I got a Keurig last year for my birthday.
Threw out a Keurig.
That's a big boy. Because it was broken or because you were protesting it?
I got a French press instead, and it's better.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They take up a lot of room, and they generate a lot of
They
trash.
Do. I don't have a lot of kitchen space. Jordan, would you really rather a Keurig than getting a bloge on your birthday?
I got the Keurig from my parents.
Answer the question.
Still valid. Still a valid question.
Technically, the Keurig is still in the box, so your answer is there.
No, okay. Jordan had to leave us for a second. So, Sonny, just keep reading the story.
Yeah. So, where was I? Oh, okay. I swallowed and turned to Dad, folding my arms around him in an unfamiliar gesture of affection. My father responded clumsily and kind. He'd never been one for demonstrations of his feelings. The softer ones, anyway, and clearly felt uncomfortable at this display. But Master seemed pleased, and my mother positively beamed at the sight. I mean, yeah, that's a pretty Asian thing, just in general, families not showing affection for each other.
Is it because you're too tired for acrobatics?
No, it's because we don't see a practical value in it.
Oh, that makes me feel bad. That's true, like, my... I don't want to cast a wide net.
Yeah.
Yeah, my father was Japanese with a Japanese mother, and he said that though she didn't beat him like grandfather did, she also gave him no love or affection whatsoever.
Yeah.
And, like, saw her sons more as tools to spread Buddhism than little boys. Yeah, my grandma was a militant Buddhist, yeah.
Isn't that disproven, though? Isn't it proven that there's practical value in showing affection?
Tell that to me.
We don't give a
Campbell
shit about your science. Wait, isn't militant Buddhism sort of paradox, or like an oxymoron? I don't understand.
You would think it was, but it was like it was a sort of Buddhism that had a lot of proselytizing involved with it, of converting people.
Okay. There's
she got in a lot of trouble with the U.S. government. By doing that, because when she met my grandmother is from I think it's Nagasaki, and when my grandpa was stationed there for Korea when he first smashed and banged her and then they got married, he got court-martialed because she tried to convert his superior's wife to Buddhism and like wouldn't stop.
Wow.
So like he had to go, and then she carried that on when they moved to Queens with her sons by like making them do it in school even though they were Christians.
Hmm.
Interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Jordan, did your parents suck your dick for your birthday?
No!
I said an intimate thing, now you say an intimate thing.
How is that your assumption?
That's what I was getting from this. Was I was admitting that, then you talk about how your parents sucked your dick.
We have a lot of fellatio-related tangents on this podcast.
And
it might not be amenable to some of our viewers. It's okay.
Sorry, Sonny.
Mom was the first of us to break the silence. Kong Sang, How are you doing in your studies? It was the first time she'd ever called me by my given name, and it sounded strange from her lips. Bemused, I nodded, my expression blank. He's doing well, said Master, saving me from having to respond. He's not our best acrobat, or our best singer, or our best fighter. So much for my savior, thought Jackie. But he is sufficiently accomplished in all things, and nearly ready to advance the performance. You should be proud of your son. Master's words were like treasure. I had never heard him directly praise any of us, so hearing him tell my parents that I had been worth all of this effort brought a smile to my face. The more I thought of it, the more I had to agree with him. All of my brothers and sisters had something in which they excelled. My brother Yunhua had good form, Lil Yunbao was a tremendous acrobat, and Biggest Brother was one of the most powerful fighters.
Oh, man.
I wasn't the best at anything, but I was good enough at everything.
Oh, man. That might be true, actually.
Is this when we get the reveal why his name is Jackie? Because
no,
he was the Jackie of all trades?
No, Jordan. I can tell you why right now if you
want
to know.
It makes sense.
I don't think that's a phrase that's permeated through Eastern culture.
Yeah, I don't
think it's very specific and weird.
Yeah.
But Matt, what were you saying? How did you? You said you knew where Jackie came from.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it. It's like it'll come up
okay.
in like 30 chapters.
I'm gonna guess and say
we'll get there.
This is the real reason he's named Jackie.
Okay.
I'm telling you, that's not correct.
I don't care about your facts, your book knowledge.
Roy Moore, 18.
Because if I had been the best singer, then the teachers would have had me concentrate on singing. If I had been the best actor, then they might have made me specialize in acting. Instead, I got a chance to learn everything and do everything well. My father looked at me with surprise, as if he'd never expected me to succeed. Oh, Kongsang, we are so very proud of you, said my mother, squeezing me. I was pretty proud of myself. Because the master had said something else that I nearly missed. He suggested that I was nearly ready to perform to show off my skills in public, and that meant my dream of the crowd, the audience cheering in the dark, was going to come true.
He never once has mentioned that being his dream.
Sometimes.
It is now his dream.
Sometime soon, unless my parents took me away. So I guess what happens is that, like, since they come here, he was afraid that they were here to take him out of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he's, like, treated so badly, like you said before, he wouldn't have anything to do outside. So
true.
He, like, really wanted to stay.
Yeah. Like, cause wasn't the whole thing that his dad got a job in Australia and couldn't take his mom along.
Right.
And his mom wouldn't be able to support him. So I think the idea was that his dad would finally be able to, he was situated enough to pick him up.
Yeah. So then, he asked to be excused from this conversation, and then the master talks with his parents while he, like, meets up with the rest of the kids. And then Yulong sees him, and he goes, "So, Big Nose, how are Mommy and Daddy?" he said. I ignored the sarcastic tone in his voice. "They're fine," I said. "Are you going away, Big Brother?" piped Yunbao, sitting with legs outspread on the practice floor. "Don't know. No one said anything." Yunlong laughed. "Nice knowing you, Big Nose. Don't let the door hit you on the ass when you leave." I clenched my fist. "I ain't going anywhere." "Not yet," I thought to myself. "Yeah, just admit it. You're a washout," he said. "Just like Big Brother, Yun Ting."
Jesus, give Yun Ting a break.
So
it's been
they
fucking
go
5 years.
They go through this back and forth for a while, and then Jackie, like, breaks. Get angry enough, and reason and training go right out the window. Every cell in my body screamed that I couldn't pick a fight with Big Brother, that doing so would be against hundreds of years of tradition. If I so much as raised a hand in anger in his direction, any chance I had at a career in opera was history. Then I remembered it was probably history anyway. So who cared? Oh my god. Okay, so then they like start yelling at each other, and Jackie goes, "Listen, Yunlong," I said, my throat constricting in anger, "I'm not gonna let you push me into doing something stupid right now. You're still my big brother, but I swear to you, the first time I run into you outside of these walls, I'm gonna kick your ass." Yunlong pushed himself forward, slamming the rod hard against the wall. "You little," he shouted. "You better bring an army, Shrimp, because you're gonna need one." Okay, that's not a real thing that they said.
No way.
No way.
It's not like he remembers anything, really. He remembers the...
But then he decides to, like, insert in 50s movie high school dialogue.
From America.
From America.
Oh my god. It's insane.
And then eventually the master intercedes and they break it up.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the end of that chapter.
Yeah. Oh, the next... Okay. Oh, fuck. We can't... I thought that the next chapter was linked into this. It's kind of really interesting what happens. I would say that it zags on us.
Oh, okay. Personally. I don't think I've gotten there yet.
A regular zag?
When we think it's going to zig, it's zagging on you. Thank you, Sonny. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
What a weird fucking... What a weird guy Jackie Chan is by the choices he makes in his book.
Yeah. And is like... Yeah, his family is real weird, too.
They're fucking weird. But you know what's really weird? The fucking medallion.
Yeah, the medallion is the weirdest.
Are we going right into it?
I feel like we fucking have to. Shit. It's I finished that movie like an hour and a half ago. I've been sitting on some weird shit that I need to get out. This was a mistake.
Yeah. I don't know why, Sonny, you recommended this movie. Did you like this movie when you saw it?
No, I thought it would just be fun. I don't remember anything about this movie.
I think Sonny specifically said we should do a movie that's like the antithesis of what we like about Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
And he said like to get the gamut, and that's what this was.
I remember not seeing this movie in the movie theaters, specifically because it looked not good.
I saw it in theaters.
Did you? Oh, wow.
Really?
I've never seen this movie before.
I remembered at the very end of the movie seeing it when Nicole kicks the woman off of that big staircase and starts falling in slow motion. Because I remember thinking, oh, fuck, I can totally play with this with my action figures. Which is what I thought when I was 13 years old when this movie was out. Oh, man. Should we at least give a synopsis of this big pile of shit?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Do you want me to go through the book?
Oh, it's not in the book. Yeah. The last one is. Jordan, what's this movie about?
So this movie is about Jackie is a Hong Kong detective working with Interpol to foil some international like thief, kind of like henchman,
snakehead,
villain kind of guy. And he, the villain is trying to do this like, this ancient Eastern magic thing where he becomes immortal by using a medallion. It's this ancient artifact that allows you to do anything and move through dimensions. Jackie gets embroiled in this plot, trying to stop the villain whose name is Snakehead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And kind of we go from there. It's Jackie, in getting embroiled in the plot, he happens upon the boy who can give this power, who is the holder of the medallion, and Jack.
What's crazy about this is that Jordan is reading the synopsis directly from IMDb.
It makes that little sense.
It is that meandering and incoherent.
And Jackie saves the boy's life and then he dies in the process.
You
the
don't boy... have to give everything away.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought you wanted me to give the main...
Just the premise. Just
okay.
The
premise of the movie is Jackie Chan is a Hong Kong police officer working with Interpol to stop this man who's trying to steal a medallion that grants immortality and superpowers.
Okay, cool. I'm there.
Because apparently that motivation is enough to involve Interpol.
But not enough to involve other countries.
Yeah.
just Hong Kong and, I guess, Dublin.
Fire.
Well, I think the reason why Eddie Yang is Jackie's character, I think the reason why he's involved in the process to begin with is because it's an Interpol investigation, but it's happening in Hong Kong. So Eddie Yang is there helping out, and then because he sees Snakehead's face, he has more information than Interpol does because no one else has seen his face, and that's why he gets brought along when it leaves and goes to Ireland.
That makes perfect sense, actually, Jordan.
Mm. Yeah, I gotta explain this bullshit movie. Did anyone notice in the first scene there's like a weirdly like racist joke about Chinese food
dogs?
Being dogs?
Yes, I recognize that too. Like,
yeah, when he's talking to the dog,
when he's just like the dog's like yelping, it's like, and Jackie's getting like street food in Hong Kong, and Jackie just says like, "Don't worry, you don't know him. You don't know him.
Yeah, it's not your friend
or
something." And then, but like, that he feeds him, so that means he knows that it was just because he was hungry anyway.
Yeah.
So it just like wasn't even a necessary.
Why put that joke in there? Yeah,
right. Also, this is the second movie in a row where Jackie Chan can communicate with animals.
Yes.
Wait. What? Oh, with the horse. Okay. Now.
Oh, right. Yeah. Before we were talking earlier about how this was like an American movie. It was actually made by a Hong Kong company.
Oh, really?
Just TriStar Pictures or whoever picked it up for distribution, which explains why there's so many like dubbed lines that I think were in Cantonese that they then put in English. I thought.
I did realize that.
When I was watching it, I was like, this movie looks like it's dubbed. I don't know why, but like when Jonathan Rhys Davies talks, it doesn't look like it's dubbed.
Did you guys? Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then there's the whole like first scene when they're in Hong Kong, everyone that's speaking is dubbed in English.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a lot of I had a lot of questions for
there was
everything.
Also like a lot of very strange Dutch angles.
Yes, the whole first fucking scene is Dutch angles. I thought it was in Holland, not Hong Kong.
Wait, what are Dutch angles?
They're like when you hold the camera at an angle.
Okay. I'll do it right now, Jordan. It's like, I can't do it.
Okay.
It's like if I was like this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That helps no one listening at home. But
they do it like, they do it a lot in like classic movies. Like Kenneth Branagh does a lot in Thor because he's Kenneth Branagh and he like thinks that shit is cool. and like famously it's something that they do a lot in Citizen Kane, but it's like heavily abused. It's like as if, who directed this? Gordon Chan just like watched Citizen Kane and was like, "Oh, that's how I direct."
Is Gordon Chan a Hong Kong director or is he?
He is a Hong Kong director. Yeah.
Okay, because this movie had to have been directed by a man who didn't know how to speak very well to his English actors and actresses, because the performances were dog shit.
They're
like,
bad.
They're really bad.
But so there were. I did like his. What's his name? Watson. I thought he had some funny moments.
Oh, I hated Watson.
I think that the woman who played, I've seen her in other things.
She's
the
in Mallrats.
Yes. Okay. She has such bad acting in it. There's such weird choices. Like, you know the scene.
Well, she's very stiff.
She's stiff, but she makes a lot of like weirdly like sexual looks, and like there's one scene. Okay. So I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but at the end of the movie, towards the end of the movie, they're like sneaking into a secret lair and they're...
Oh, is this the pee scene?
The pee scene. She does a face that's very like sexual when a guy is peeing from above them into the water and Jackie like runs around and but she like looks, it looks like she looks up and she's like, about like this guy peeing into the water. It was so weird.
She looks like
weird.
She's making like a Renee Zellweger face the whole movie. Like she's doing an impression.
Yeah, a little
like
bit.
She's squinting her eyes and like doing this like, oh, I'm interested in what you have to say, Brandon Wong. Not Brandon.
She,
Eddie.
she was not doing well.
To go back to that British guy, his name is Lee Evans.
Uh-huh.
In those of us that are fans of the Buffalo Bills will know that Lee Evans was a longtime Buffalo Bills wide receiver, though this is the different Lee Evans. But he was a famous comedian for many years. He retired a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
But his whole shtick, it felt very almost like vaudevillian to me.
Yeah, a little bit.
Where like there's the scene where he's running and his tie like slaps him in the face.
Yeah, that was a weird one. I liked him in the beginning when he was like doing that bit with the Buddhas.
Yeah, that was funny. That was at least good. I have never seen a movie that has Interpol as a police force in it where they're
Holy
not
band.
Incompetent and like stupid and horrible. Like I've never seen Interpol be like the like. I'm sure Interpol is like the most elite like police force in the world. Like I would be surprised if they're not comprised of like amazing detectives and like
is Interpol like the FBI of England?
No, they're
I'm
the
not sure
Euro-
what Interpol
they're
is.
They're like the international police. Interpol
right. of Europe.
I think they're based in Europe, but I think they do things they do things all around the world where people accept them as a legitimate force. So it's probably
as an American rock band.
Yeah, but they probably mostly do stuff in Europe, but Interpol is famously in The Fast and the Furious, Da Vinci Code,
You know a lot about Interpol, Jordan. What's up with that?
Yeah.
Well, Interpol is kind of cool. I don't know. They've always been a cool thing. You don't think they're cool?
I think they're cool. I just don't know anything about them.
Yeah, me either.
They're like the force that comes together. They're like not NAFTA. What is it? The
European Union?
No. What's the N?
The
Axis powers.
No, they're the ones who
the KGB.
went into Libya.
The PLO,
oh, the white hats. What are they called?
Not the PLO. What are you even talking about? I can't remember what they're called. Never mind.
I think we've all exasperated our knowledge of what Interpol is.
They're
like a huge joke in this movie.
Yeah.
Can we talk about John Rhys-Davies, or as I like, I'm going to refer to him from now on,
Gimli,
son of Gorn. he appears in this movie in between The Two Towers and Return of the King.
Yeah. Really?
That's so
no
fucking
way.
Crazy that he was like, oh, made these giant, huge movies, better do the medallion now.
I bet it
just came out in between, because they filmed all three of those, like, back to back to back.
That's true. That's possible, too.
I feel like this movie is a cash cow. I feel like everybody involved is like, we're making this movie. We really want you. Here's, a bajillion dollars.
Do you guys want to do a very quick round of the jack-off? Because I actually have those figures right now.
Remind me of what that... Oh, we're just going to guess what the numbers
are? Yeah, right now Jordan's up one.
Yeah.
Two questions. Question one. What was the budget for this movie? U.S.
Ooh. Sonny has a distinct advantage because I don't know how much movies cost.
In 2003?
I'm going to say $50 million.
I'm going to go with 35.
Sonny, you have won the first part of Jackoff. It was $40
Fuck
million.
Yeah.
Dollars.
Oh, okay.
Damn.
What was the... second question of...
Wait, don't... How does that work? We don't play Price
no,
is Right
closest.
Rules?
I'm still closest.
Yeah. He's also under.
But you, wait, oh, is it going over? I don't understand. I don't really watch The Price is Right. That's why I wanted to ask about the rules.
Okay, second question. What was the gross of this movie?
Wait, international or...
I don't know. Let's just say, what is the number I knew? I found out? Let's say U.S.
500 million.
I'm sorry. You still don't understand prices, right?
I don't know how it works. 100 million.
Okay, you want to know how
okay,
much?
Okay, I'm doing 100
okay, Jordan,
million.
The question is over. The Sonny could have said $0, and it would have been closer than that.
I'm going to say it definitely did not make its budget back.
Okay, continue, Sonny.
30 million.
$31 million.
Oh my gosh.
Damn.
And he won by Price is Right rules also. Yeah, this movie was a massive failure. It was a
wow,
huge flop,
rough.
And it shows. From tip to taint, this thing is a piece of shit. Also, so it's so bad that I had the thought that those scenes that were shot in Hong Kong in the beginning were from a different movie, and then they just used them for this other movie.
It's possible.
But upon researching, I didn't find anything. Because, for one thing, he had very long hair.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, did he get a haircut?
I think that was maybe his disguise. I wrote down, ooh, I like long hair Jackie. But then he didn't have it the rest of the movie, so I thought maybe it was a disguise.
I think they probably just filmed that, like, 2 years prior, and then they went, we have to finish the medallion. And he's like, I'm not growing my hair out.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Maybe this movie was originally slotted as, like, Jackie's big debut. And then they had, what's it called? Then Rush Hour came out. And they were just like, this is much better. Let's not do anything with this.
Yeah. Man, we were right. Is there any, like, things about this movie that we liked that we can talk about? Because right now we're just...
Yeah. I actually thought that the Watson's wife being, like, a secret badass was actually a good reveal and kind of cool. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
I'm interested in that dynamic, though. Like, did they make her Asian because it was, like, a parallel?
Oh, maybe. I thought maybe he met her in Hong Kong, but because he was just visiting.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he goes there often.
Maybe
I don't know.
Parallel.
She seemed like she was just from wherever. Well,
from wherever. Because she had a British accent or whatever.
Yeah, she didn't have an Irish accent,
something
though.
Else. Yeah.
I don't know. It's.
I did like how they didn't try to go too much into the exposition about the medallion. Or, like, it's.
Yeah.
How the magic behind it really worked, because that would have made it even more insufferable.
You mean where they only had that, like, one scene where the guy in, like, the fish shirt, like, explained.
Yeah, with the guitar.
He was just like, oh, you found, like, the
You
price.
Found the medallion?
When I saw that for some reason, I thought, Jordan, if you had, like, continued your, like, thespian dreams of high school, that would have been your, like, that would have been your pocket. Was playing that guy in a movie.
Oh, you think so?
Like, you would play, like, lots of, like, weirdo kind of, like, experts at things. Like, you'd be on the X-Files reboot as just some sort of guy who's kooky, but he's right.
Sweet. Yeah. I could be on 12 seasons of NCIS.
Well, you can't be on it because you didn't fulfill
No, you can
it.
Only be, you can only you be right
it.
Once.
Yeah. We haven't talked. I have some good parts too, but we're also, like, forgetting the big part that there's, like, a little boy that is the keeper of the medallion.
Yeah.
What's his name? Like, Jai?
I believe.
I did not know his name for this whole movie.
I think
movie.
It is Jai.
Jai. He's this little boy who truly, I don't think, acts. Like, I think they just have him say lines, and he does lines.
Yeah,
he doesn't really
reacts.
Show emotion throughout the movie.
He only shows emotion in one scene when the girlfriend...
Nicole,
she says that she's talking about after Jackie dies in the middle of the movie. She's talking about how she could make Eddie peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, And the boy was like, oh, why? And she was like, oh, because I can't make anything else. And he gives a smile and kind of laughs at it. And that's the only time he shows emotion in the whole movie.
Man, this movie, this is like the definition of an underwritten female character. Like, truly, I thought she was a liaison between Interpol and the Hong Kong police, but then she also is like an agent herself when she needs to be.
I think she's an Interpol agent. I think she works at Interpol. I think Jackie is the only person who's not like actually with Interpol and is being brought
in. And they were
in.
Dating, right? Like, that's why she gave him a slap when he saw her.
Yeah, right. She gave him a slap. But it was weird. When they first saw each other, I thought they didn't know each other and they were just being introduced. And then she slapped him and it was like, oh, I guess they know each other. That's a weird way to introduce yourself to somebody.
Oh, I didn't even think that. I thought she was just like, I know you're thinking about me, so I'm going to slap you in the face.
Yeah, that's what, because like, there was no like telegraphing that they used to date before that.
There was that even that music of like the butterflies,
yeah,
or like the little birds. Like, why do birds suddenly appear every time that you're near?
Yeah.
Do, do, do.
Oh my god. Oh yeah. The needle drops in this are really bad.
Yeah.
They legitimately do drop a needle.
There's a lot of really bad. The fight scene between the two women. There's a cat scratch noise.
Yes. That. Also, how much do you think they paid for
the Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, the Beatles Twist and Shout.
Yeah.
Scene.
For that
one
dinner scene.
Let's talk about that. I think that they only put that scene in there because they knew they wouldn't have 90 minutes of footage, because they barely do. So they made a cooking montage. A legitimate, like, Lee Evans teaches Jackie Chan how to cook, and then also dancing.
Yeah.
And then eating food together.
That scene is so out of place. I wrote it down in my notes that scene made no sense. It shouldn't have been in the movie.
That's a scene that like Jackie Chan wrote himself. Like, he's like, I'll get it. I got this part. They're gonna go to dinner. We have to convince him to join us, and by doing so, we're gonna make a dinner and dance, and then also the girl will like me again.
Yeah. It's rare that, like, stories do that whole refusal to call thing with a secondary character.
Yeah. Super weird. A thing that I did not like about, I think just Jackie's character in general is, what's his name? Eddie? It's Eddie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Eddie.
He had literally, like, it seemed no skin in the game for most of the movie for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I never like one of those movies where it's just like, oh, I realize that this threat is enormous. It could destroy the world. I myself am going to solve this. When if there was, like, a real medallion that had all this power, it would be, like, a global situation. This wouldn't... Yeah. Jackie Chan this is so much above his pay grade.
Yeah, I thought that... It was so weird at the end of the movie, or just in the anytime they're like attacking the henchmen, or they're just going in just the three of them. Like, why? If Interpol is this like big thing, like they let his second hand snakehead second hand man or right hand man get away when they go to the ship and he kills Jackie. They just let him get away because there's not enough people there to arrest everybody. And it doesn't make any sense why they would only send in three people if it's such a big deal.
No, it doesn't.
Well, maybe the thing is that they don't know. I think that it's pretty much proven that the medallion thing is on no one's radar except for Snakehead. So maybe they just think that he's like stealing or like laundering money or whatever, and they don't realize how big of a deal it is that Snakehead is this close to getting the medallion, and Jackie is the only one who's like hot on his tail.
True. Also, can we talk Snakehead for a little bit in his castle, his bombed out Irish castle?
Well, before we get there, I kind of want to talk about his henchmen.
Yeah. Oh, his weird black henchman.
Yeah. He's weird.
What's his name? Jashard?
I don't know if he has a name.
No, he has a name.
I looked up was Johann Myers.
No, his name in the movie sounds like discard. It's Jashard or Richard or something like. I think it's Jashard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, either way, that scene where he finds him and he chases Eddie finds him leaving. He does that gump thing on the car handle without knowing who Jackie Chan is. So he's just like doing that to random people.
Yeah, he puts gum underneath the handle of the car just to be a butthole. Also, did you notice in the scene when he has the shot, like they're breaking into where the medallion is, he's got a shotgun and he shoots open the door. He has lines of dialogue there that don't get said. They bleep it out
really?
And put music over it. Yeah, I thought that there was something wrong with my dub.
Really?
Yeah, if you go back and watch it, he has he says things, but you can't hear it. They just ADR it.
That's so weird.
So bad. Yeah. They don't represent there's only two black people in this movie and one is wearing a Jamaican bandana on his head. I'm fairly certain. And it was not good.
Jashard was really bad. It was he did this weird thing right after he shotgun butted the monk who was praying in the back of the head. He did this weird lip thing. I don't even know how to describe it. He made a very strange face. And he was just not a great actor. And probably why we haven't seen him in anything else.
He's done a couple other things. I kind of did enjoy the chase scene between he and Jackie a little bit. We got our only actual Jackie Chan moment in the movie when Jackie climbs that fence.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
That was a good chase scene.
I screamed out, and I wrote this down. I screamed out, "There he is! there's Jackie. You can't keep Jackie out.
There's my boy."
You know who the stunt coordinator is for this movie?
Who?
Fucking Yuen Long.
Really?
Yeah. What a lazy piece of shit. he knows that Jackie can do better, and he just doesn't care. This movie feels like it was made in 3 weeks.
Yeah. This.
Yeah, it looks so bad. Just isn't shot well.
The rest of that chase scene is really bad. There's parts where it's slowed down and then just sped up again.
Yeah.
I don't know. The only scene in that chase scene that's enjoyable is that end, or is that part towards the end that you talked about. So
yeah, he hurdles up a very high fence and spins around. It was very impressive. Also when he scooted himself through the bars of the in the first scene. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's showing how skinny he is. Should we talk about the wire physics in this? The wire fighting? I thought that it was done decently well at the beginning to give sort of a sense of Jackie didn't know how to control himself at all.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I don't think that ever looks particularly great unless Captain America is doing it.
Or The Matrix.
Yeah, or The Matrix. It wasn't as bad as when he was doing his super speed stuff. That looked horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, that was bad.
Does anybody think that the very, very last scene where spoiler alert, Nicole and Eddie are running through a tunnel at a high speed, as
not
fast
a
as
tunnel,
they can.
Not a tunnel, Jordan. A vortex.
Vortex.
A vortex. Okay, so
to another reality.
Oh, they are going to another. It literally looks like a tunnel.
He either says they're going to another dimension or another reality. They're running through a vortex. Was the
word. It looks very sexual. They're running. I thought it was supposed to be.
Oh, what do you mean?
I thought it was supposed to be like a.
Like they're going to
like
have
an
sex
innuendo
of the multiverse.
No, the fact that they're running through a vortex at high speed, it has a double entendre.
I thought it was supposed to just be a teaser for the sequel, they can travel through time or something like that.
This movie was never going to have a sequel. If anyone made this movie and thought a sequel was coming from it, They were out of their mind.
Jackie Chan was the king of the sequel at that point. He could do a sequel for anything.
He could not for this movie.
Well, it's because it turned out really bad. But I bet when they were writing it, they wanted that.
I thought it meant something different.
Here's a note that I wrote down too. So after Jackie wakes up, like he dies, he sacrifices himself to save the little boy Jai. But Jai uses the medallion to, I guess, like reanimate him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie can't be killed after that, and there's like a pretty funny scene I thought where Lee Evans is stabbing him when Watson is stabbing him.
Oh, and the woman behind him.
Yeah, but the question I had was, if Jackie Chan doesn't have any blood, does Jackie Chan have any cum in this movie?
That is a good question.
Has some left over.
Well, like, he doesn't have...
Well, what is he made out of? I don't know.
That's what I mean! Like,
wait,
he's just,
so,
like, particles.
So is your theory that if that were to happen, if he were to come, it would be the light? Like,
yeah,
it is when
light.
He gets stabbed?
he would come, like, an infinite amount of light out of his penis. until his urethra closed.
Well, too bad they didn't make a sequel. We could have found out.
Oh, God.
I think I'm going to be thinking a lot about... Because have you noticed he's been naked in a lot of these movies?
In this movie, like, he made a reference... He looked at his penis to ensure that it was him.
And he was like, I know what mine looks like.
Oh, man. This movie sucks. There's, nothing redeemable about this movie.
Yeah. He talked about his nose, which is... Isn't that an actual Jackie thing? Jackie fact? That he got made fun of for having a big nose?
You've been listening to us read the thing. They call him Big Nose.
I know, that's my point.
Somebody said it today.
That's my point. So that he like took something from his childhood and put it into the movie and made fun of it himself.
He does have a pretty big honker. He's definitely got a honker. Man, what is... Like, I don't understand... Jackie Chan is money if you just let him do what he does. And it's like, this has to just be him cashing in on a check, right?
Yeah, 100%. This,
like,
the tuxedo, the foreigner.
I bet the tuxedo would actually be pretty funny. It's about a tuxedo that gives him powers.
I've never seen...
And the foreigner was awesome.
I've never seen... I was joking about the foreigner, but I do think that probably the tuxedo is in line. I don't think there's any Jackie Chan movie that's probably as unwatchable as this, besides like an early Hong Kong movie we haven't seen. But
I like that better.
What do you mean?
Like those early Hong Kong movies, I find more enjoyable because there's like real choreography in them, even if the plot is gibberish.
No, I'm not saying that it's. I'm not saying this is as bad as ones we have seen. I'm saying that there's probably Hong Kong movies Jackie has been in that are just as unwatchable as this, but this so far is, I think, the worst Jackie Chan movie we've watched.
All right. I guess we'll find out. That makes sense, Short. I hear you. Should we give our ratings, or does anyone have anything more to add?
Let me look at my notes, but I think there's a lot of just, like, bad... I notice this in Jackie Chan movies a lot. I notice this in Shanghai Noon. There's just a lot of, like, weird time and space plot holes. Like, people don't take advantage of where they are. And, like, Snakehead could have, like, killed Lee Evans' character. He could have... they should have been able to get Snakehead's, like, number two person, his right-hand man... when they were on the boat. There's just a lot of like weird plot holes from people being in the same place and just not doing anything about it. But
yeah, I mean, that's the like bad. Most bad movies are bad because of structure a lot of the time.
Yeah,
structure's important, guys. It's just important for buildings.
That's what I'm always saying.
That's what I'm always saying. Okay, I give this.
Oh wait, I want to say something. the soundtrack to this movie is horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know if we I don't know if we talked. It's really bad.
Well, like so what? Is,
yeah, yeah. What songs are you thinking of, Jordan?
I don't even know the name of the song, but like it's got like 90s
like
rock,
right,
pop
yeah,
rock,
yeah, yeah.
Like worse.
It's, it doesn't hold. Yeah.
Worse than Kid Rock Cowboy. It's like it's yeah. like it sounds like POD or like whatever band is like POD.
Okay.
Mudvayne.
Yeah, but like happier. Like a happier POD or Mudvayne.
A Perfect Circle.
Oh yeah, the happiest.
yeah. There's not a lot that's good in this. I guess if I had to say there was the one thing that is good about this movie is that it's not very long. And it's not very expensive to rent on Amazon. It's only $2.99, which is not.
To be fair, that's the same amount of money that it costs to rent most of the Jackie Chan movies we watch on Amazon.
That's
and,
true.
And yeah. It's more money than both Winners and Sinners and Project A. So
yeah. So never mind. So it's the worst. Fuck. I can see I can see how Jackie Chan kind of became a little bit of a joke, and like kind of still is a joke because he had a string of these kind of like things where he's not doing what he does best. Just he's just like a clown. At least he gets a girl in this. Like he's sexualized.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like he's not like an Asian clown. Like I feel he is in a lot of other movies to like very offensive degrees.
The only thing this movie gets right. Jackie is like the prime love interest, and like it's not.
Jackie hits that white meat.
Well,
he does.
He definitely does.
Or he did beforehand.
I've said before. I think the tunnel. I think that's what happened in the tunnel. All
right, maybe. George, what's your score?
What can I give it? What's the least?
Anything.
Is it from 0 to 5 or is it from 1 to 5?
It could be from 0 to 5.
I'm going to give it a 0.5.
Don't want any troubles.
0.5, don't want any troubles.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 0.5 as well.
I'm giving it a 0.5 too. Like,
0.5
too?
Can... That's such
no,
a
I
weird...
No, I mean
0.5
also. Shut up. Shut up. I don't know what can be worse than this. Okay, here's what I'm going to do, and this has never been done before. This movie is so bad, I am upping my Shanghai Noon score to a 3.
Oh, man.
From a 1.5.
Yeah.
Because it showed me how bad one of these movies can truly be.
Yeah. I think this movie will be the worst for a very long time.
Yeah, I agree.
Fuck. I can't imagine us. I wonder if the next movie we watch that is this bad or worse, I wonder if it will make us want to switch this score up or just go with a straight 0.
Or just quit the podcast.
Stop.
I've watched too many bad movies with Jackie Chan and them. I can't
we
do
need
it
to
anymore.
We need to be good to ourselves and watch like Super Cop or something soon, just to
yeah.
like remind
well,
ourselves.
Well, okay. Here's something I was thinking about. Does Mulan count as? Part
yes,
of?
It does. Absolutely.
Okay,
animated
we
things
can,
count for sure.
We can leave
Wait,
that as a nice little treat.
Who is he in Mulan?
He's
the
Li Shang. Well, he's Li Shang.
Yeah, he's the dragon.
He's Li Shang in the Chinese version.
Okay, but he's not anybody in the English version.
No. I think BD Wong is Li Shang in the English version.
What?
Let's watch
BD
the Chinese
Wong?
Version then.
Yeah. Oh my
we were
god.
We were talking about BD Wong before.
Oh my god. I love
we were
BD
waiting
Wong.
For you, Sonny.
He's in one of my favorite shows and my least favorite show of all time.
Go what are they?
One of my favorite shows, he's on Law & Order SVU, and my least favorite show, probably of all time, is Mr. Stupid Robot, the worst show ever.
Wait, you think that Law & Order SVU is better than Mr. Robot?
Oh, 100%. I think Mr. Robot is a garbage piece of television. It's garbage television.
You're out of your mind.
If you, if you want to watch Mr. Robot, go home, actually go to the library and get Fight Club on DVD, and you'll save yourself
like
28 hours.
I think Fight Club is bad.
Me too.
Yeah, but that makes Mr. Robot even worse. That
Mr.
It
Robot,
copies,
I don't think you have.
It literally is Fight Club.
It's very similar. It's similar, but it's like technically better than SVU in almost every way. Now that Hargate and Maloney aren't like doing it anymore, no thanks.
I think Hargate is still on it. Second,
say that again. Say that again.
I think she's still on it.
No, what's her last name?
What's her name?
Mariska Hargate.
No.
What is her name?
It's like Hargate.
I don't know how to pronounce it. It's whatever. I said Keurig before.
Hargate.
I don't care. I don't care about how you pronounce words.
It's your favorite show, you said.
Yeah, but she's still on it. But I watch the old episodes. I like them with iced tea. I like them with Maloney, and I like to drink an Arnold Palmer while I'm doing it.
You're a real dick wolf, aren't you?
Oh, I am.
So weird.
Oh man. Okay. I think what we were talking about before. Next week we're gonna watch a free movie on YouTube called Traces of a Dragon.
Yeah.
That has to do. It's a documentary. We're gonna take a step back, but it discusses in great detail Jackie Chan's father and mother. Mm-hmm. And we get some scintillating details about his dad, about how he was a spy, actually, during the nationalist phase in China, like the 1930s and 40s.
Crazy. That's insane.
First 30 minutes of it, and then I had to go. Otherwise, I would already be talking about stuff with it, but
mm-hmm. So
it was really interesting. It's free too, so we don't have to pay any money, and the people at home don't have to pay any money to watch.
Yeah, so now that you're listening to this, this episode should be out. You'll have a week, so if you are interested in watching the movie so you can kind of listen along and see what you thought about it and what your takeaways are, definitely watch it in the week between the episodes. It's free.
Why are
and,
you telling them this?
Well, because if they want to.
I guess. I mean, every episode we do has a disclaimer about what
the
movie next week is.
We don't always tell them what the movie next week is. We have. I just want to make it clear. Hey, listeners, join along with us.
Jordan, at the end of every episode, I put what the next movie is. I do an audio recording of it.
Yeah, but not always.
Okay, Jordan again proving that he has not listened to any of these episodes.
I have listened to two of them.
Okay, we're going to go to the formal jack-off right now. Right now, Sonny has taken a one-point advantage.
Yeah. Not for long. Not for Yoon Long.
Not for BD Wong.
I already got a better one.
There will be there will be a possibility of 4 points in this round. I have to just look something up really quick. Okay. So we're gonna play Chan I Am. We all know the rules?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was the star of the medallion, and Marsha.
I'm
Jan.
Chan Brady?
Yes. Sonny Chan.
Damn it.
With a foot. Chan Brady.
is that like Tom Brady?
No, from the Brady Bunch.
I know. I got it.
Didn't get fast enough. Okay, this one, I will accept up to three answers.
Okay.
So you could either just get one or you can get all three.
What if you get two? What if one person gets the first one and the other person gets the other two?
Then that's what happens.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
So I'm pretty much going to give you guys like 10 seconds just to figure it out. And if not, then it's just going to be 1 point.
Do we buzz in if we have all of them, or do we just say them?
Put up three fingers if you know all three, or like two if you know two, if you know one.
Okay.
Okay. My nickname was Pow Pow because I was a big fat baby, and I was working in a bridal shop in Flushing, Queens. Jordan says one. Okay, Jordan, what's your one?
Okay. So, wait, no. I know two. All
right, what are your two?
Okay, is it the Channy named Chan? Chan Drescher?
I will accept 2 points for that. The Channy and Chan Drescher. I would have also accepted Chan Fine, the character from The Nanny.
Okay.
Sonny, did you not watch The Nanny growing up?
No, I've never watched The Nanny.
Oh, fuck. I love The Nanny.
The Nanny is one of my all-time favorite shows. Much better than Robot.
Jordan, I think you just tied it up again.
Yeah.
Did I?
Right now you got a 69 in front of him.
Wait. I thought I was up by one, and then Sonny got two. So then Sonny was up by one, and then I got... Oh, and then you got Chan Brady. Oh, okay, we are tied, yeah.
Oh, man, it's a back and forth for the ages right now on the jack-off. They're going to do a 30 for 30 about the jack-off when it's all said and done. All right, guys, we should wrap up.
Yeah.
You can find us on Twitter at the Chan Pod. You can like us on Facebook. Please do. Please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. We're going to start posting shit to Reddit soon, so look out for that if you do that. I do. That's not a really good pitch. Anything else I'm missing, guys?
Yep.
Twitter?
I said that already. The Chan Pod.
Oh, Facebook, Twitter, we're on SoundCloud and on all apps associated with podcasts. Tell your friends and talk to us. We are happy to answer questions and talk about stuff on Facebook. So do it. Do it up.
Yeah, hopefully we'll find out that Roy Moore won Alabama.
No,
this is the wrong one.
I'm pretty sure. So I'm pretty sure he's losing.
That's good, actually.
Doug Jones is losing right now, but he's still got the big
Wait,
cities.
Doug Jones is
cities.
Losing?
Yeah.
I'm reading opposite stuff. Sonny, were you watching the politics while we were doing this?
No, I just checked New
I'm
York Times.
Too. Well,
let's cut this out.
Just know where we stand. Chansplaining, the Chansplainers, we are very pro Doug Jones. Because
that's who Jackie
would
have wanted.
Yeah. Wait, you think
like
Jackie would want Doug Jones?
Yeah. Why
Why do you say that?
Because I got a gut feeling.
Okay, if you say so. He hates hates school. He hates it.
Bye, guys.
All right, that's enough of this. We'll edit this out, hopefully. I probably won't. Bye.
Music.